Messi Anko, Ricky Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's the campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alice wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the three of I be singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Che bañado en gloria y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to what will be a very, very interesting episode of Messi and Co. Live after what was a game of highs and lows, apparently. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about. It's Monday, it's 6 p.m. But before we get into any of that, I'm Ashley here as always with my co-hosts Gian and Matt. I just realized you guys are flipped this time.
We're throwing people off. We want to keep them on their toes.
Keep me on my toes too. But yeah, yeah. How are we feeling? Before we get into the game, before we get into Messi and the injury, how are we? Feliz lunes.
Feliz lunes. Yeah, it is. Sometimes I lose track of days, but it's so much MLS soccer, so much going on. So now I'm doing great. It's a good Monday. The temperature here, the weather's nice. So that's good. I walked outside. I was expecting it to be hot and muggy, and it was nice and not so humid. So that's good. And yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to start the week, despite everything that's going on elsewhere. But I'm ready. Mondays are the new Fridays. You know, you got to start off the week strong and happy. And
Mondays are the new Fridays?
After all this. Huh?
Mondays are the Fridays?
Oh yeah, you have to treat it you know, you got to start it, cuz if you go into Monday acting like, "Oh, it's Monday." Like then the whole week's going to be thrown off. You got to go and be like, "You know what? It's Monday. Let's start fresh. Let's start new." So that's how I'm trying to.
Well, what happens if you treat it like a Friday, you just don't show up to work tomorrow?
Well, listen, that's just on you. That's just on. I don't do that. I'm responsible.
Can we do like a Messi and Co. life advice podcast and just like talk about life and about like how to, you know, just positivity and things like that? I feel like we need positivity now with everything going on with Messi and everything. Like, we should do.
Yeah,
like,
no, we're under too much stress with what's going on with Messi now. I feel like, at least for me personally, I'm stressing out over that. So that's why we need this positivity. We need positive vibes.
And you were the one that wasn't stressing out.
We literally said that before we started. By the way, do I sound better now?
Yeah, you sound good.
I'm good.
Yeah, my mic was not plugged in. Yeah, Matt, tell the people what you were saying before we started.
Okay, so I was, when we had a discussion about Messi and when we should sound the alarm bells because he was missing three games and whatnot, Ashley and Gian were very panicky. And I was like, and I wanted to stay on the positive side and be like, you know what? I'm not worried about anything. I don't think we should panic or sound the alarm bells yet. I think, you know, Messi just needs some rest. He'll be back and like everything's going to be good. The injury's not going to be too serious. He'll be fine. And today, that's not how I feel today. I can tell you that. I can tell you that right now. I don't know if you want do you want to break the news, Ashley? Do you want me to break it?
Hey, but before we break that, when that news hit, that thing must have hit you like a cold bucket of water, huh?
It hit me a cold bucket of water. It hit me like I fell down the stairs, like a bunch of rocks were thrown. Like, I don't know. Like, it hit me so hard. Like, I got slapped in the face. It was such a shock when I was literally scrolling through my phone and I saw the Messi and Co. tweet first, and then I'm like, there's no way. And I checked Gastón Elul and I checked the Argentinian national team page to see the list, and I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, no, it was a shock. It was pretty bad.
So Ash, what's that news that Matt's in shock about?
So the news is that after what was, we all agreed, an amazing performance yesterday and the goal, and seemingly like
we were in the clear, and Messi had healed from his injury or his muscle fatigue he was experiencing a few weeks ago.
Or just that rest.
He re-injured his adductor muscle, or felt a little pull in it last night during the match, and in order to rehab, has pulled out of the Argentina upcoming World Cup qualifying matches against Brazil and Uruguay. And also, we are not sure how long it will be for, when he'll be back, how serious it is. But yeah, after an incredible match that we definitely need to talk about and like go through, surprising news that I really didn't see coming. And yeah, I can't tell the severity of it yet. I really can't. I don't know if it's just timing or what we're feeling, but yeah, Gian broke the news to us too, as well, that that this was happening with Messi. You could see videos are circulating of him around the 60th minute when he did that shot on the left-hand side that was aiming for the corner that Brad Guzan blocked. He grabbed his hip after, but then seemingly, I guess, walked it off and played it off because he was able to play the rest of the 30 minutes, you know, and help the team win. But I guess scans and post-adrenaline so told us otherwise.
Ah, man. So I know there's been doubts, and obviously I've been one of the ones that – not want to say doubt, but maybe I just brought it to light that there could be an issue where maybe Messi favored Argentina, right? And he wanted to make sure that he was ready and all that sort of thing. But, I mean, this probably, like, locks that down. Like, that's not a thing. Like, he – obviously something's going on. He's not – if he's fully healthy, he's going to be with Argentina. So this is not like
– yeah.
You know, he was just going to rehab and he was just going to play, you know, maybe one game out of four with Inter Miami and then go to Argentina. Like, something's happening here. Something maybe more than we hope for. But at the end of the day, like, for me, I just think you have to – this is life with Messi now. I honestly just think it's life with Messi. We have to get used to it. This is a 37-year-old Messi that is dealing with a reoccurring – injury, whatever the team wants to say, whether it's rest, whether it's management, it's an injury. That's what it is. It's the same freaking leg. It's the same muscle. It's the same thing. It's become chronic, unfortunately. And Messi's not going to play 90 minutes anymore if he wants to be able to make it to the end of the season. I think we're going to see a Messi that now has to, if you want to make sure he gets to the playoffs, maybe he's playing 60, maybe he's playing 70, but I don't know how you guys feel about that, but for me, I don't think it's a 90-minute Messi for the rest of his career. Like, it just shouldn't be.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. Maybe. You may be right. Maybe it will be – or maybe there will be less of them. I don't think he's ever going to not play 90 minutes again. I especially in important matches, I don't see that happening. But
you want to see 90 good, and then three games off? Like,
well, I think that's the other thing is yeah, I guess
that's maybe what it comes down to ultimately. Like,
it's just about, you know, here's an interesting point. I don't expect Messi to play on turf again. I don't think this was a turf-based injury. I mean, it could have been, you know, just on how he planted his foot and shot it. Everyone seemed to be moving pretty well, so you don't know for sure. But all of a sudden, someone who was fairly indestructible and rarely got injured, you know, maybe time is catching up a little bit with him. I mean, he's still playing at such an extraordinarily high level. To your point, Gian, maybe both him, his team, and everyone needs to accept that he can continue to play at that high level, but he has to play less.
It's about longevity at this point in his career and making sure that he's able to play as much as he can without like overexerting. Like, we've had this conversation before. Like, this is MLS. This isn't Premier League. This isn't La Liga where every game counts. This is where you can coast through 50% of the season and you can still make it to the playoffs. I think for me, if I'm this team, I'm like, okay, from a commercial standpoint, it sucks that Messi's not going to play. Like, I want him on the field as much as everybody else. I want to see him every freaking game. But at the end of the day, I would rather him miss a game here, play 60, 70 minutes there, as long as he gets healthy to the end of the season. I hate this 90 minutes and then three games off, four games off. And it's not and it's quote unquote off. It's not off because he doesn't feel like playing, but I think he's literally dealing with a chronic injury now. And, you know, whether he feels, whether he can play at the moment he feels it, he's not going to play the game. And look at that. He's missing Argentina. He's missing two games with Argentina. If we were wondering how serious this was, like, this was the one that really told us and was the most telling for him to miss Argentina. Oh, he misses Inter Miami. The talk is always going to be like, oh, whatever, it's not a big deal. He wants to be ready for Argentina. Like, how many times have you heard that? He missed this game because Argentina's playing in 3 weeks. No, Argentina time is now, and he's not playing. Like, yeah.
And that is what really got me worried, like, the most, is the fact that he's not playing with Argentina. Because as somebody who's Argentinian, as a player for the national team, when you play for that national team, you live for the games against Brazil. You live for those games against Uruguay and Colombia, etc. You live for those big games with the national team. And for Messi to not be there, you know it's something serious. And like you guys said, like, and I knew that Messi wasn't going to be, or I know that Messi shouldn't play a full 90 minutes all season long. Like, that is just impossible to happen. But I don't mind him playing 60 minutes, 70 minutes every single game, 50 minutes every single game, if that meant that he stayed healthy. If that meant he stayed healthy. Now we're at the point where, okay, this is really, really bothering him now. So it's like he's going to sit a couple of games, he'll play a game, then he'll get injured again. And then he's going to sit. Like, that is something that I wasn't expecting. I thought, like, if we were going to manage his minutes, he would be just healthy throughout the time that we would manage his minutes and maybe very rarely get injured. But now it seems this is back to back now where he's really, really feeling that discomfort to the point where he's going to stay in Miami, fully recover, and miss out those two international games with Argentina.
Yeah. I mean, also, look, maybe, you know, like I was saying this to Matt earlier, I'm going to say, like, playing, you know, the positive parts of it and trying, thinking that, look, maybe, I mean, Argentina right now is ranked one in qualifiers for the World Cup, right? And I think Messi maybe possibly is thinking and knowing that, you know, the Club World Cup is coming up soon, that he has a lot of Inter Miami, I don't want to say appointments, but, like, things expected of him this season. You know, each team for the Club World Cup, for FIFA Club World Cup, gets something like $60 million or something like that. Like, it's a huge incentive and program. And maybe this is just one of those times where he's like, it's been bothering me more than I expected it to. World Cup is not for a year and change. I just did a major tournament with Argentina and won. Argentina is still my number one thing, but we're ranked one right now in the qualifying. I need to let it rest. Like, maybe he's better and then he doesn't, and he just takes the 3 weeks and he feels better for the rest of the season.
I think there's no chance that that's happening, Ashley. I think there's zero chance that that's happening.
I know. Argentina. I'm just trying to be positive.
No, I appreciate the positivity.
And there's no shot that in this world that we live in that Messi is putting Inter Miami ahead of Argentina. And when you look at Argentina, they may be in first place, but look at their last five games. Out of their last five, they've lost two and tied one. They've only have two wins in their last five games. They're only 5 points ahead of Uruguay, which is a team that they're going to play against. They're playing against Brazil. So the two games that they could lose, like, it's not out of the question that they could lose. Yeah. And you have Uruguay on their butts. You have Ecuador in third place at 6 points behind. Like, if Argentina loses this, they could very well be, you know, not in dangerous waters of missing the World Cup, but they could end up going down a couple of spots maybe, or having other teams close a gap. So I don't think Messi's thinking that. I just think that this is not major. As supposedly Gaston Edul said, you know, and he's one that's very well connected, as we know, with Messi, said that it was something minor, but enough to keep him out, and that there is some sort of an injury. I think that's the first real, real confirmation we have, right, of an actual injury?
Maybe.
Yeah, because they didn't confirm him being really injured last time. They just said he was going to sit out.
But that just shows you this is like is, there's two scenarios here. I think one is he really was resting those three games, mm-hmm. and he didn't rest enough, or the rest was an actual injury. I don't know. I'm leaning towards it was an actual injury the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they always said he had discomfort or muscle fatigue. Like they would always use words like that. They never really said.
Sobre carga, like it's just it's too much work, like work on the workload or whatever. So. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see. I mean, I think it's very clear to say he will not be playing in the Philadelphia game in 2 weeks. I'm guessing probably everyone's hope is that he's back for the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal match against LAFC. But it's a shame because obviously, like we said, you know, this is, I think, really the first time we're seeing, you know, Messi is human. And the age and the just consistent playing has caught up to him a little bit. I still have faith in him, and I still have faith in the ability that he can heal. He knows his body well, and he's still so phenomenal that it will, you know, course correct and balance. I don't think he's retiring in the next 2 months. I think he's just, you know, they're being very, very, very cautious and careful and you know, want to deal with this before it could get really bad.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I mean, he looked. How do you guys feel like he looked in the Atlanta game?
Amazing.
I thought he looked fine. I thought he looked great.
I thought he looked amazing. Like I thought, and he was doing so many runs. He was even. That's why it's so weird to me because even after the play in the 60th minute, the last 30 minutes he did. I can't even count the amount of sprints he did and the amount of chance creations he did and all this stuff. Like he didn't look like he was in any pain. He looked like. Great. And so that's why it's so surprising. But I guess, you know, he was hiding it well.
He was running all game, pressing all game. He was dropping back.
Playing defense. So. Like he was, mm-hmm. yeah, he did more defense than I've seen him play in so long.
There was one where he was basically like in a like part of that back line, right? I think I remember one of those plays where I thought first I was confused. I thought I was like, wait, is that Messi? Like go all the way back there. I don't know if I'm so much worried about the actual injury itself. In the sense of that it being that severe, I'm more worried about how it's become chronic and worried about how it's probably when you're looking at it from a medical staff point and you're saying, look, man, we rested Messi three games. We had him, we subbed him in a fourth. We didn't have him even play a full 90 and he's still injured, something we already knew he was having issues with. Damn, like I'm worried now that he's gonna miss even more time. Like the three games wasn't enough. It just so happens that we're lucky enough that obviously there's the break and all that. But I think what you said, Ash, like right now, as long as we have him by April 2nd for that game against LAFC for the Champions Cup, I think that's kind of like the goal right now. But other than that, like this team has shown that it can win without him. And again, that's not a knock on Messi. That's just a knock, not a knock. That's not a knock on Messi. That's just showing how much this team has really, I think, come together and invested in making sure that they can compete when Messi isn't on the pitch. And I think that that's a good thing for us. But
I people in the comments are saying, you know, he was pressing, defending 90 minutes. Agreed. He was really exerting himself. You know, is this stop-start play style that he's always played with starting to come and bite him? Part of it is also, you know, that was the Copa America injury obviously was one of the worst he's had in a few years, really. And so the recovery and still, you know, it takes time more so when you're older and when, you know, the muscles, other parts of your muscle and your leg, like, compensate for your injury, right? So like yes, he injured his ankle, but other parts of your leg, then you get the muscular atrophy and some get stronger. Like it takes time to heal and become perfect with those, and the way he plays and like the energy and the speed may be more difficult than others. We'll just have to wait and see, right? Like there's nothing we'll have but time.
At that age, you just don't recuperate the same, and every muscle, look, I'm Messi's age, and sometimes I wake up and I step off my bed and I pull something. Like it's your muscles are like it's crazy. And it's just something that I think you can only train so much. You can have the best doctors in the world. You can have the best physical, people to prepare you physically, but age is a real thing. And at this point, it's, I think you can, Messi can only get in so many ice baths. He can only take, you know, do so much cryotherapy. He's got to, I think now, as much as it sucks, manage his time on the pitch and be there for the most important, for the most important matches. His look, I think we haven't talked enough about that Atlanta game. Brad Guzan, I told you guys, was is freaking prime Oliver Kahn, prime Gigi Buffon when he plays against us.
It's, yeah, seriously.
It's insane. Messi would have had at least another two goals if it was, if it was against any other goalkeeper. He had one that was like, but he had two clear ones. There was one that it was like a, he got it in the air and he almost like a kind of like a bicycle kick or not, or like a scissor kick kind of. The Brad Guzan stuck his hand out like at the last moment and popped it out. Like, damn, like he was really good. And I don't know, what, how do you guys feel about that game? There's a
amazing game. It's sad because obviously this is overshadowing it slightly, but I think that was one of the better MLS regular season games I've seen in a long time. And for it to happen this early in the season, the energy, the level of play, the intensity, the excitement, man, it was a phenomenal, like what a great like billboard and advertisement for what MLS can be, a game like that.
Yeah,
I would 1000% agree. Dramatic, like it was true. That's arguably the best game we've played so far, like this season, like in terms of just the vibe, the whole overall play. Everyone was playing at a really good level, and we ended up. It was just a dramatic win at the end, and it was Fafa Pico getting the winner, like off of a header. Like it's it was very. It was very intense, very dramatic, very awesome to watch that from beginning to end.
It was really the toughest opponent we've had to match up against. Yeah. And remember, I was saying how, okay, with Mascherano, obviously he's been doing great, but we haven't faced the toughest opponents yet. And this was like shut up, Gian. Like he's, you know, he's really here to and he's showing what he's got as a young a coach in his, a very young career for him so far as being a coach. And he did it. I think he did really, really well. And this team, man, like they, at the beginning, Atlanta was controlling the game.
Yeah.
And I think that Inter Miami isn't used to a team having, I mean, they still had more possession, Inter Miami did, but they weren't used to giving 45, almost 50% possession to a team. And Atlanta had a lot of that possession early on. That connection that they were having when the aerial game between Latte and what's his name? The right back?
Amron? Oh, no, Brooks Lennon.
Yeah, and Lennon. Like that connection Lennon. That Latte and Lennon had with the centering of the ball and the one that ended up in a goal and almost, it was almost a second goal, but then it was an offside. Like I think Inter Miami was struggling a bit there at the beginning. It could have been scary. But they showed poise and they showed grit and they were able to fight through. And then obviously, I think later on through that game, they ended up being a lot better. Tadeo Allende, great as always. Suarez doing really well, floating around. Not so much for Velasco in this game. I think this was one of the games where we saw a little bit less of Velasco. Not because of him, but coach's strategy. They're playing a lot more on that right side of the field, I think.
He wasn't getting really fed. He wasn't getting involved a lot. And as much as I hated seeing him come off, I thought it was the right decision. Him being sub, and then he brought on a Cremaschi. And then that's that, right? But no, it is what it is. But the rest of the, I thought the midfield was fantastic. I thought we did well in the midfield, and it's especially with
Bushi. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about who was arguably the greatest player last night outside of Messi, because I think Messi is the man of the match, and that goal was, again, when healthy and if he's giving 100%, he's the best 11 in the world. Like, he really is still. I mean, that goal was disgusting. Like, it really was.
Yeah.
And his energy all game, even clearly when he showed he even if he was injured, I mean, the energy and the, you know, determination he showed those last 30 minutes. I mean, heart of a champion. Like, Messi is still Messi. But Yannick Bright, second season in the MLS. I know, Gian, you listened to the Spanish broadcast. I think, Matt, you say you listened to the English one, right?
I listened to both. But night I listened to the Spanish one.
Okay, well, so Taylor Twellman from the English one basically said that you know, Yannick Bright right now is one of the best defensive midfielders in all of MLS and could be playing in Europe tomorrow. And I agree 1,000%. I think Yannick Bright is so unbelievably phenomenal. I mean, he's like, just if he wasn't playing in Europe right now, you'd be considering him like in the conversation, like you'd be like, oh wow, he's kind of like Jude Bellingham. Like he's, that's the kind of style of play he has, that who he's going to be like. Like that's how good he is. But because he plays in the MLS, you don't put him on such a high pedestal. But the way he played last night was like sensational. And he deserves everything he's getting. Just unbelievable.
I'm so glad that people are starting to realize it a little bit more now. If everybody who hasn't, they have to watch the last video that we did, because that's literally what I literally said. Yannick Bright is the best center defensive midfielder in this league. He's the best holding midfielder in this league. And I think it really, really showed it in that Atlanta game even more. It just proved my point even more. I'm glad that the commentator said it. I honestly didn't know that. And
a lot of the people in this chat. Conte. Huh? That's a funny comment. Sorry, keep going.
No, the chat knows what they're talking about. They have that ball knowledge. They what was I saying? Bright is no, his control of the midfield, right? His one touch play, the ability to just play silky smooth football and have that great chemistry with Sergio Busquets, with Jordi Alba, who is playing even like an inverted wing back at times. He would help out in the midfield. Bright would come play anchor out in defense. Like he was playing so many roles and linking up with them so well. How could he not be one of the best center defensive midfielders in this league? And we honestly have to be very, very worried. We're worrying a lot, worrying about Messi. And we also have to worry about Yannick Bright moving to Europe at some point in the summertime next year. We have to worry about it because it might happen, and he deserves it. And he is, he's the best. I couldn't have asked for anything better out of Yannick Bright from a draft pick.
I just know you said Yannick Bright and Jude Bellingham in the same sentence. So I want to make sure that we clip that and put it as a YouTube short.
Saying he has the same play style, I think. Like, he's very similar. I just saying he has a talent and, like,
no, I'm not saying notably. Yeah, I agree. I know that those are like hot takes, like people. So I'm just curious to see how.
Yeah, okay. He's not at Jude Bellingham's level. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he reminds me of him, and that's one of the biggest compliments you can give someone, right? I mean, Jude Bellingham 100%. Started further back in the midfield defensively and has moved up more and more because of his absolute talent.
Since you're saying, you know, Jude Bellingham, like-esque, I think that obviously. I love Bright, and I think right now he's the guy that gives you security in that midfield with a little bit less offense than Redondo, like a little bit less offense, a little bit less of the finesse that Redondo gives you, but it gives you just more security, especially when you have many times Jordi Alba more playing, like you said, Matt, playing like a wing back going higher up, and it's really, you look at that Inter Miami team, a lot of times it's like three center backs, especially when you had Luján, Falcón, and Noah Allen. You're basically playing with three center backs. So having the having Bright there to be a destructor, to break everything up. Since you said Jude Bellingham, I'm gonna go, just because I'm Ecuadorian, Moises Caicedo ish, like kind of like that. Don't worry, guys.
I'm sticking with my Gattuso comparison.
We all have our comparison. I'm going with Caicedo. Like I love him, but to get to like Jude Bellingham-ish, like I would love to see him work on the passing and that.
Yeah, and the offense a little bit more.
So he recuperates the ball. He's strong. He's physical. Once he gets the ball, he's going to develop this with time, and he's so young. He's already done so well. A little bit more time, especially with his Inter Miami, that's so good at developing young talent. I think, sure, we could see him in Europe in a couple seasons. Why not?
I want to bring up this point. I agree. So Redondo out. I think here's where I'm at right now, because another Redondo question. You know, in the beginning of the season and in the preseason, in the first few games, I think we all rightfully said that Redondo was playing excellent and, you know, was working really hard and was doing a great job. And after getting criticism was, you know, matching up to it. But I, at the same time, Yannick Wright wasn't available. Yannick Wright dealt with an injury early before the season started and he didn't play. And so right now, the truth of the matter is, and I think Mascherano, as we've seen, is very mature, very deliberate in his decision making, goes with what's right and what's best, not with what makes him look good or what makes people look good. Yannick Wright is going to continue to remain the starter if he is available. And so the question is, how does Redondo react to that? I mean, maybe you'll see Busquets get some rest in rotation, but in your best 11, it's clearly Busquets and Bright. And so it's going to be interesting, right, to see what that looks like.
I'm excited. And yeah. that's the midfield we should have been rocking all last year. That should have been the midfield. Like, I was so confident in that midfield, that double pivot, that the doble cinco since last year. So I'm hoping to see more of that this year.
Redondo is definitely not going to be happy with the bench, especially with that name.
Nah.
Could say, and I mean, I don't think he's cheap either. So I don't know how long he'll be here at Inter Miami if he's not a starter. He's definitely a quality guy. He can start. He's definitely, you know, he can start on many teams here in MLS. But I think, look, whoever you think is best for this team, whether it's Redondo or it's Yannick Wright, there's so many games this season that you're going to see both. They're both going to start. And I think that what you're going to really look at who's there for Champions Cup games. That's how I would read it. Like,
and the big MLS matches, I think, like the marquee matches, like
exactly the marquee matches, the tough Champions Cup. And I'm not talking about against Cavalier SC. I'm talking about now where you're going against LA. That's going to be like whoever's starting, that's going to be the guy that Mascherano favors. That'll answer a lot of questions for us. But right now, to me, like they're both going to see enough time. You got it with Leagues Cup, with Champions Cup, with, you know, all this stuff going on. Like, everybody's going to have their time to shine. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the other person I want to bring up quickly, who also had a phenomenal performance, Noah Allen. It's going to tie into our next topic, but really quick, I think we all felt this way. I saw a lot of love for him on social media last night. Mascherano making what I think is a pretty brave and good choice in choosing Allen over Aviles when Aviles was available and back, and saying to Noah Allen, you're showing, like, the way you're playing, I'm not going to bench you because you're playing at a high level. And I think when people get to play based off of merit and consistency, then that sends a really good message as a coach and to the rest of your team. If you're playing great, you will be the one starting. And you know, honestly, if it was this time last year with Tata, and this is, again, I have a lot of great things to say about Tata, but if this was Tata, Aviles would start that game 100 times out of 100. And Noah Allen got the nod, and man, he played at a really, really, really high level. So shout out to him. Agree? No?
Noah Allen is really good. And I think that, okay, between him and Aviles, it's tough because I think that they both bring, like, their strong suits, obviously. But look, I'm okay with Noah Allen starting every game too. Like, I feel confident with that. I think that he does a really good job. I think that he's excelled, especially. I feel like season over season, he's taken a step up. He went in there last season, asked to be a CB by Tata. He shined. And now he looks like he's took a step up over the offseason. So, yeah, I think he did amazing.
I agree with that comment.
If Aviles is warming the bench, I'm a happy person.
No, but let me not come at Aviles like that, because obviously Aviles is a great player. He has the potential to be a great player and he's still young. But like you said, with Noah Allen, he's been progressively getting better every year and he's been proving to us, like, Allen has made that step that Aviles hasn't yet. He's showed us, he's proved to us that he can handle being a starter in left center back, left back. He proved that he can handle. And then despite all the disadvantages he have with his physicality, I think I don't know if you guys agree or if anybody saw, but I thought physically he struggled in the Atlanta game because they took advantage of that. Atlanta, like, they knew he was going to be a weak link when it came to the physical aspect. But despite that, he had a great game, and he's been having a great game every time he started. So Aviles just needs that bit of that part. He needs that part. He needs to still prove to us that he can play, that he can be consistent, that he can just essentially exactly what Noah Allen has been doing. Just keep getting better and proving to us that he can start every game and not get ejected.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, Ian Frey got some well-deserved and needed rest yesterday. Lujan did a good job of, you know, managing defensively. Obviously, doesn't move up as much, I think, or create as much on offense. But I think your best four back is, and for now, Mascherano is going to ride the hot hands. And that's, you know, a center back pairing of Allen and Maxi Falcón, as long as the shoulder injury isn't, you know, as bad as we think. Hopefully the week and a half will give him enough time. But that, you know, they're making a really great center back duo, and it's, you know, not something we expected, but so far they're working really well together. You're seeing very little lapses of communication, right? That's a problem we had last year. And even in the beginning of this year, the reason Aviles gets a red card or a yellow card is because there's a lapse in communication and a big gap, and he, you know, makes the tackle, and normally it's bad. But with this, even, you know, at such an early point, Allen and Falcón know exactly where they're supposed to be, playing off each other really well. And I think that's dedicated to really amazing coaching. Mascherano, another point we're going to make. I mean, man, he's coaching his ass off. Like, I don't know how else to say it in a more elegant way. He has just been outstanding.
I think that's the only right way you can say that, right? Like, he's an undefeated coach. He's an adaptable coach. He's a winning coach. And I think that all of the doubt, if there was any doubt about Mascherano before the season, now I think it should all just go out the window. I know it's very early on. I know we're like a month into the season, but or not even, but it's like he's managed every situation possible so early on to the season in like the best possible way, whether that's getting and almost getting the best possible result every single time. We've been down a man, we've had injuries, rotation, like whatever the case may be, he was able to adapt and end up winning the games at the end of the day. And I think that it was such a great decision from Miami to bring on somebody like Javier Mascherano to be a coach for this team, because we really needed this guy. No disrespect to Tata Martino, but this Mascherano has just been, I've just been loving it since day one.
Yeah, I think bringing Mascherano on was a gamble, and little by little, yeah, it seems to be paying off. I think proving yourself is a process. You don't prove yourself 4 or 5 games into the season. And I think so far, as he's trying to prove himself that he was that he was the right pick for this job, I think he's doing a great job doing that. Because as you said, Matt, this hasn't been a walk in the park for Mascherano. He's had to deal with things that a lot of times coaches have to deal with maybe halfway through the season or towards the end of the season. I think that he's experienced and coached through different scenarios in such a young season. And I think he'll be better for it. I think this team will be better for it, because they, once they're hit, because it's not going to be the first time they're going to have to play with a man down, you know, knock on wood. And this isn't going to be the first time, or the last time rather, that they're going to have to deal with injuries. They're going to have to deal with this through the rest of the season, or at some point in the season. He's already shown that he can do that. Like, playing down a man, it's not just about putting this team in the right mentality to still compete. That's one part, is the psychological, but the decision-making on the field, bringing in the substitutions at the right times, which many times we had issues with that last season. And not only bringing in at the right time, bringing in the right people, making the difficult decisions. Like when we went down last match before this one, and we were, who was it? I have the worst, terrible memory. Who were we playing that we went down a man?
Charlotte.
Yeah. Charlotte, and we score the goal, and we're up. I think it was 1-0, if I'm not mistaken. the tough decision was to park the bus and get the right personnel to park the bus. Mm-hmm. And he did that. And he did that effectively. He trusted his defense. And yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about Mascherano right now. And I'll be the first to say I was a doubter. And look, I'm being proved wrong early on in the season. We'll still wait to see what happens. But man, I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, it's still very early on. We have a lot of season left. But as of right now, he's doing really good. He's proven to us that what he can do.
100%. Before we move on, and we have a couple more things we want to talk about. As Soccer Daddy FC has just pointed out, Inter Miami did put out an official statement about Messi's injury a few minutes ago. Inter Miami has provided an injury update presented by Baptist Health for Captain Leo Messi. Messi underwent an MRI this morning to assess the extent of discomfort in his adductor region, which he experienced during last night's match. The examination finding confirmed the presence of a low-grade injury in the adductor muscle. His progress and response to treatment will determine his availability for competition. So, good and bad in that sentence. I think good is that it's low grade is a good thing to hear, right?
I wish I knew what it was, though. Is it a low grade tear? Is it a low grade? I don't know what. I'm not a doctor.
Right. They just said injury. I still would say, you know, when you're looking at the positive and negative, by them saying low grade and, you know, not high grade, that's a positive. His injury that he had to his tendon and ankle was a high grade, if we remember. And obviously he was out for quite a while. So, but they did not say when he's going to come back, which is obviously the caveat and something we have learned to expect from Inter Miami. So initial thoughts and reaction is that I'm happy they put out this statement quickly and did it actually within the same day. If there wasn't Argentina, we would never have gotten this, but I'll take it. 2, I'm happy it's low grade. 3, hopefully that means shorter time, but we will have to wait and see.
Did you, by any chance, did you skip over the part that says is expected to miss, or they didn't have that?
They didn't have it. No. That's the last sentence.
Well, I'm being sarcastic. I wish they did. Like, I really wish
they did. His availability. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they specifically did not mention that.
It could be, he could be available tomorrow. It could be a month. It could be, who knows?
Yeah. Hopefully it's, I don't know.
I see it really tough for him to play against LAFC. Like,
yeah,
I see it tough. You're talking about a game that's it's the second and we're on the 17th. This is 2 weeks away. And he just came off of missing 3 games and then, you know, plays part of one, subs in for one, and then comes and gets injured. I don't know how realistic it is to say that he's going to be ready against LAFC.
So if they're saying it's grade one, which is, I guess, what is also the same thing as saying it's low grade, but maybe it could also be grade 2. I would say grade 1, it usually says recovery takes up to 2 weeks. Grade 2, though, 3 to 6 weeks. So I think in Inter Miami terms, that probably means 2 to 4.
Yeah.
If I were to guess, hopefully we see minutes in LAFC. If we don't, I won't be the most shocking thing in the world. But
I'm going to go a little more specific, Ash. I'm putting 37-year-old with grade 1. Adductor.
Yeah. I mean, they low grade though could mean grade 2 as well, which was you know, so we don't know for sure. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, but again, I'm glad Inter Miami gave us that update. We're hoping for the best. But yeah, overall performance and Mascherano have, I think, so far dictated that he knows what to do. He knows how to get the best out of his players. He knows who he should be playing. And hey, look at Fafa Bicolt, right? I thought that was going to be a much longer injury for him when he had pulled that hamstring in the first match. But it's within 3 weeks, right? That it was 22 days and he was back. And great goal. Hopefully, you know, just everyone running. I tweeted that video of you know, as soon as he scored, him running to the bench, the whole team. I mean, you could also, for someone who had an injury, no, I'm just kidding. But Messi running after Fafa, so excited, everyone sprinting to the sideline. Just some things you love to see, right, as a sports fan.
Yeah, that's a 305 guy right there, you know, scoring for Inter Miami. And what, that's a tough header to score. Like, that was really tough. He was jumping high, flying actually back. That was not easy. Yeah. Like, for him to get his head on there and give it direction, like, that was tough. And I think add that to Gusan, and there was some, I guess, miscommunication between him and the defender. Neither of them took action till the very end. That thing went super slow, but the precision, the accuracy on the header was just excellent. And I think for a player to battle back from injury and to come back like that, what a boost of confidence for him. What a great moment for the team. I remember, like, it gives me, like, Ian, you know, not the exact same scenario, but I think Ian Frey obviously coming back from injury and scoring and, like, those. Yeah. It was really similar. Yeah, it was a really feel-good moment, I think, for that team. And I think that's what you want, that camaraderie and all of them kind of being there for each other. And I think it means a lot for this team. So,
yeah, agreed. Amazing. And I obviously, especially now, with the Messi injury, I mean, I would be very surprised if he plays against Philadelphia. We'll wait and see. But maybe that leads to a Fafa start. But it was great to see. I think agreed on this point that LAFC, I mean, it's still, like, you know, we hear LAFC and we see the signings and we see what they've been. And, you know, we're thinking amazing. And you never know how they're going to be in the game. But so far, they haven't been as strong this season. And so Inter Miami may hedge their bets and try and get a result away from home and hold off a little bit longer. But we'll have to wait and see. It will be, I think, a good match, though. It'll be an exciting tie, and we'll get a lot of viewers and excitement.
Yeah, where do they play first? Are they playing here?
LA.
And LA?
LA first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Giroud hasn't been really the signing that they thought he would be. So I think that's... You know.
Apparently they're not doing well, like, at all.
Yeah, that's what I see. I mean, yeah, that's why, like, it's surprising that they're having, like, a pretty slow start to this season. I don't know if that was what was expected by fans and by the team, but yeah, not performing well so far.
Currently,
hopefully that
eight.
Plays into our advantage.
2 wins, 2 draws, and yeah,
they lost their last 3 games, yeah, including the CONCACAF game against Columbus.
I mean, look, we go in there. Obviously, it's a Champions Cup game. Those games tend to be more intense, especially when you're, you know, and I think LAFC is going to step up. But at the end of the day, this team, with or without Messi, has been built to compete, and they look really good. They look really good. And I would still, I think even without Messi, I think they'd still be considered favorites without him. They're playing that good. And I don't know. I don't know, like, how you feel about... When Messi's not there, then Telasco has a different role. Telasco has done really well in that role when Messi isn't around. So I think that
he fulfills it in a way. I think he gets more involved. I feel so confident with this team without Messi.
Yeah,
which is something that is, like, very. Like, amazing to feel. Like, it's like, normally it's like, oh, Messi's gone, like, are we gonna win, are we not gonna, like, no, like, we have such a strong team without Messi, and it's just and we've showed it, we've proved it time in and time out. So
it's awesome. More fun when he's there, for sure, and it's better,
of course,
but I agree that the team, you know, feels, and I think this is a great kind of topic to end on, and we can all give our thoughts. Does this team seem closer, tighter this year, stronger unit? 100% so far from what I've seen. You know, they've been in difficult situations, and I think the way Mascherano has ingratiated himself with the team, how he's making his selections, I mean, I can't stress this enough, and I think we all feel this way just from playing sports and watching sports our whole life. There is such a difference in players when you get your place based fully on how you performed the last game. Like, you know, there is something to be said about going with the hot hand, going with people who are showing up in games and not making mistakes and not doing it based on connection, not doing it based on nationality, you know, any of those things. This is, you're seeing just pure merit being rewarded. And if Mascherano is saying, if you work hard, if you follow the principles that I'm coaching, if you listen to the game plan, you'll play. And that makes a huge difference. Like I said, you saw the video of after Fafa scored that goal. not just a normal celebration with teammates, the whole entire bench, everyone, a huge huddle, Messi sprinting, Suarez sprinting, everyone sprinting to the sidelines to hug and be really excited. It's really fun to watch this group.
Yeah, I think that with these guys, like Tadeo Allende coming in, Telasco, Fafa, Maxi Falcón, they've really done a good job of really integrating themselves into this team well. I think that everybody else that's already part of this team really did a good job of welcoming them, of gelling with them. So, you know, we talk a lot about this preseason and sometimes that these preseasons can be too long. But to me, this preseason seems to have been successful from that standpoint. I think that this team gelled pretty quickly. Obviously, Maxi came in a little bit later and some of these other guys. But at the end of the day, I think they look a lot stronger because of that. Because of they haven't lost a game. They haven't at all. And I think it shows that they understand each other. You know, the skills you can buy, because you're going to buy players that bring in their skill set. But what you can't buy, I think, sometimes is that camaraderie and how well players understand each other. And this team sometimes, where we maybe haven't seen it at the level of like Alba and Messi, where they don't even look at each other, I feel like I've noticed times where it seems like they know where they're going to be, right? They know, they've read the play, especially when you look at like Tadeo Allende has made some runs into space expecting a pass, like if he knew, like if he's been playing with Suarez for ages, like that's something that's like, okay, this is a new player. This isn't a guy that's played threes. How are they meshing so well? They could very easily be taking each other's space. Like Tadeo Allende playing so high up along with Suarez. No, they've been able to float around each other. They've been able to not take up each other's spaces and actually make each other's games easier. That's what we're talking about. When are they tighter? Are they stronger? Same thing with Telasco. Telasco comes in and he knows right away what his role is, where to be at times. Maxi Falcón, same thing. So the team is tighter, they're stronger, and I think it's just because of the caliber of guys that they've brought in having team-first guys. I think that's probably one of the most important things.
Messi just put out a statement on his Instagram story in Spanish. Do you think you can live translate it and let me know what he's saying?
Damn, I can only understand part of it. Huh? Holy cow.
What?
We're doing it live.
We got a lot.
Yeah, this is live. I mean, I understand what he's mostly saying, but just to be, you know, to get clarity. And while you're pulling that up, yeah, I think the camaraderie has been incredible. I do think this is, you know, this is a valid point, and people can disagree. And I'm not just saying this because I speak English. Like, you know, it does make a difference that throughout the game and during the game, you see Mascherano being able to very quickly switch between English and Spanish. He talks when he's talking to the press, he talks in English when asked in English. And communication's a hard thing to master, right? It's such an important part of sports and of togetherness. And I think truly being able to communicate with everyone, both internally in the club and externally, it definitely helps. It's not saying that like you can't only be a Spanish speaker and be successful. Of course not. But I just think in this particular environment and with some of these young players like Noah Allen, like Ian Frey, et cetera, where English is not their first language, or Spanish is not their first language, it could be a help. Anything helps, you know, anything helps. And the team is just showing such unity.
Every little thing counts. Whether it's a huge difference or a little difference, I think it makes somewhat of a difference, especially when you're in game and you're, you know, yelling out instructions and all that sort of thing. Like I think at the end of the day, every little bit helps. So that's one of the many things I think that are really going for Mascherano at this time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what about the statement to close out the show? Did you see it?
You're talking to me or you're talking
you?
To
me?
What are you talking about? I was talking to you right now. Matt's the one over there quiet. I thought he was doing it.
Matt, all right. Yeah, whoever.
I have it pulled up.
Matt's
the senior Argentine correspondent. What are you talking about?
Sentence by sentence.
Do you want me to say it in Spanish and then translate it? Or yes. Just so go straight English?
Do both. We're okay. A bilingual podcast.
Okay, got it. Okay, he says here, Messi said, posted on a story on Instagram saying, Una lástima perderme estos dos partidos tan especiales con la selección contra Uruguay and Brazil. He says, it's a shame to not be a part of these two games that are very special with the Argentinian national team against Uruguay and Brazil. Como siempre quería estar, pero en el último momento una lesión no muy importante que me obliga a parar por un tiempo antes de volver a jugar me dejó afuera. So, a not so important injury is making him sit out before he is able to play again, leaving him out of the squad. Desde acá voy a estar alentando y acompañando como un hincha más. Vamos a Argentina. So from here, he'll be cheering on just like un hincha, just like any other fan, and says, vamos a Argentina. So he's just, I guess, just acknowledging the fact that he is injured and just trying to emphasize the fact that it's not as an important injury.
Not serious.
Why didn't you make a statement like that when you played against Houston and Sporting KC? That's crazy.
because Argentina are playing Uruguay in Brazil and they were extremely he had to beat them. These are two big games that he's missing.
Yeah, it's a big deal for him. It's definitely killing him. It's killing him not being able to be on that field. Like regardless of who Argentina played, it would kill him. The fact that it's Uruguay and Brazil, I think it's killing him like even more. For him to go out and put out a statement like that.
Yeah.
Agreed. But hopefully he continues to feel better, and hopefully they're catching it now, and everyone's being, you know, super, super diligent about it. We wish him a speedy recovery because, as we saw last night,
it really sucks though. This whole honestly, I was looking forward to this Argentina Brazil game because
me too. I know
it was supposed to be Messi versus Neymar, and then we lost both, unfortunately. So. It's still going to be a great game. But
I'm honestly very excited in a way to see how Argentina can play because they're going to have to – there's going to be a reality where Messi's no longer with the national team anymore. So Argentina are going to have to go through a similar situation as Inter Miami where it's like, can Argentina win without Messi? How good can they play without Messi kind of all over again? Especially
for them, though.
Who's going to step up? And especially because I know other players were also left out. Like I think Garnacho was also left out because of an injury, I think, or something. And a couple.
Who do you think will take his position? Alexis McAllister?
No.
McAllister's a fantastic player, but not he can't.
I just
step
mean
up
like for this two Messi, games, like who they think. I mean, just like who are they going to slot in?
In his place?
Yeah. In the starting lineup.
I would say, hold on, I have the list pulled up.
I think usually it would be Dybala, right?
He's not.
He's out. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, for Brighton, McAllister used to be a offensive number 10. Remember when he played for Brighton, he was actually much more offensive than he is now for Liverpool. So he could do it.
Yeah.
It could. If anything.
Chat says Almada or McAllister.
It could be Almada, or he could play. Canoni could play something like Julian, Lautaro, and like Nico Gonzalez or something. But right. I don't know. Like he could. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who he selects because he definitely has some options.
Probably will. I think this is true. You know, we may see Julian Alvarez and Lautaro Martinez both start. We may see that. That wouldn't be a surprise. Yeah. But anyways, you know. Who knows? Maybe we'll do an episode to talk about the Argentina matches. I mean, we were going to definitely do one because of Messi. But still, you know, on the channel, we're constantly trying to do fun things that are, you know, about just the world of soccer, not just Inter Miami, not just Messi. And so that could be a good way to do so. But
I could talk all day about Argentina. I could talk about it all day long.
Okay. So this was a busy episode. Thank you so much to everyone who watched and participated because I thought we were getting some really, really great questions, thoughts, comments, etc. You know, obviously wish it was only positive news and it's unfortunate when it's not, but, you know, long season ahead. International break technically starting now. Inter Miami after playing, I think, 8 games in 24 days or something like that gets a well-needed 2 weeks off. We'll wait and see how quickly Messi heals. We'll see how our next matches look against Philadelphia and against LAFC. And the season so far last night, an example of what could be a really fun, exciting season for this Inter Miami team. Any last thoughts before we go?
No, just can't wait to see Messi again on the pitch.
Yeah. Praying for a speedy recovery for Leo. And hopefully we can do well without him. And hopefully Argentina won't need him for these next two games.
Yeah. And thank you all for joining. Thank you for all the comments. Love reading them. And it really helps us too here to just go with the flow. And we love getting your guys' feedback. So I appreciate you all.
Absolutely.
Agreed. You know, I didn't wear black for once, and no one made a comment about it. I wear the same sweater all the time. No one person say anything about my sweater, but whatever.
I'll pay attention next time.
Maybe next time. Make sure you are following us on X at Messi & Co., where we are delivering this latest news like we saw today. Gian doing a great job of breaking the story early from the Argentina outlets, talking about Inter Miami squad in general, talking about the matches, doing live in-game commentary, posting clips, etc. We do a lot of stuff on Twitter, so make sure you're following us. And then subscribe on YouTube. I know we're showing this on both channels right now, our old channel, Five Reasons Sports. Please follow us at Five Reasons Football, our new channel where we are also putting out exclusive content. We want to see you guys there too and do more. So for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. We wish Messi a speedy recovery, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.